Could the Packers be in the market for a wide receiver? According to recent reports, at least other teams around the league think there's a really good chance they could be. Who could be that guy? And how could they impact this team? Plus, Zayu Duin is back in business.
You are Locked On Packers.
I feel like we can run the table.
Your daily Green Bay Packers podcast.
Rodgers gets out.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Floats it.
Your team.
Cobb.
Every day.
Touchdown.
Locked On Packers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski and I cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. You will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet. And the show for fans who know what happened, they want to know why and how. Lily Zhao on the show today to talk about all things Packers Jets. Look ahead to Packers Commanders a little bit. Try and figure out where this team stands right now, some of the drama surrounding it, and some of these recent reports about the Packers potentially being in the trade market. Let's start there. And before we even get to the reports or the players or anything like that, let me talk to the cynical fan first, who says the Packers are not going to do anything because they never do anything. They were really close on Will Fuller a couple years ago. They didn't want to go higher than a fourth. The Texans didn't want to go lower than a second, and they couldn't meet in the middle. Packers apparently were not willing to go to a third. And within what, a week, Will Fuller got suspended for the rest of the year. That Packers didn't know that, of course, when that all went down. But in that circumstance, they had Davante Adams. Before that, the Packers tried to trade for Robbie Anderson. And that deal, they could not get done before the deadline. This was, I believe, in 2019. Then when Robbie Anderson was a free agent, they wanted to sign Robbie Anderson. In 2020, I'm bringing this all up for a reason. In 2020, after they drafted Jordan Love, there were two players they were willing to move up in the second round to go get, and they tried to move up in the second round to go get them. This is according to multiple reports and things that I have been told in the intervening time that this is what happened. Those two players, at least as I understand it, were Michael Pittman and Chase Claypool. Michael Pittman, not available in Indy. Chase Claypool, according to Jeremy Fowler, has been available since February. That he has been a guy who has been potentially out there for months. That was before George Pickens went to Pittsburgh, before he broke out. Okay, more on Chase Claypool. And then in 2021, the Packers and the Rams were the two finalists for Odell Beckham. The Packers made an offer, albeit a minimum salary offer, but an offer to OBJ. Now, again, the cynical fan is going to say, well, in the mix is not really in the mix in this case. No, they were trying to get those players. They were efforting additions. And our pal at The Leap and America's guest, Jason Hirschhorn, reported in The Leap that the Packers were trying to get Corey Davis from the Jets this offseason. They were aggressively efforting that trade. I have been told there were other big name players that they were after this spring. They were trying to add pieces post Davante Adams. The best they ended up being able to do before the draft was Sammy Watkins, which was, of course, just an outright signing. And then they go into the draft. They're able to move up for Christian Watson, who does not look like he's going to be much of a contributor this season as it stands right now. And then Romeo Doubs, who looks like one of the steals of the draft at this point, albeit in a role that, you know, could be expanded, in my opinion. Aaron Rodgers went on Pat McAfee's show yesterday and talked about how he is always thinking about how this team can get better, and that he has basically hinted now twice since Sunday that he thinks they would benefit from adding a piece. Randall Cobb, probably going to go on IR, even though that injury, it sounds like, is a 2 to 4 week injury, most likely on IR. Christian Watson, they have talked about, Matt LaFleur admitted they are looking into, should they shut down Christian Watson and put him on IR, give him rest, so he could be out an extended period of time. And yes, Sammy Watkins, they're hoping comes off IR either this week or next week, but that is not a guy you can rely on down in and down out. The Packers last year, Za'Darius Smith gets hurt. They end up losing him for the season. Rashawn Gary gets hurt. What do? They go out and they add Whitney Mercilus in the buyout market. They were in on Stephon Gilmore when Jaire Alexander got hurt. So luxury pieces, such that you think they're luxury, but let's go with that, have not always moved the Packers to action. They tried on Will Fuller. They tried on Robbie Anderson. They tried on OBJ, but they didn't really try because they didn't really feel like they needed them. They felt like luxuries. Now, we can talk about another time whether or not they should have tried harder in those instances. I think Odell Beckham always wanted to go to LA. And it probably is obviously, honestly, for the best, that Will Fuller deal did not happen because, again, he got suspended and the Packers would have given up a top 100 pick to get a guy that then is not going to be on their team, not going to play, and then going to become a free agent. So injuries have spurred them to action in the past. That's where they are right now. They have Alan Lazard. They have Romeo Doubs. That's it. They don't want Amari Rodgers playing receiver, although he finally got on the field and actually made a catch. If he actually knows where to be, this could be a nice opportunity for him. He's not like any of the other guys on the team, except Randall Cobb. His ability after the catch is something that we saw in preseason at times a little bit. We saw it. And Juwan Winfrey just does not look like an NFL receiver, unfortunately. He is a 4A player. That's what they say in baseball. A guy who looks awesome in AAA and in the show just can't do it. That's what he looks like at this point. Until proven otherwise, that's what he is. Doesn't mean he can't be, but that's what he is right now. I'm rooting for him. So, these reports now. Jeremy Fowler says other GMs, multiple GMs he's talked to, are certain the Packers are trying to upgrade or will upgrade at receiver. Okay. Who are the options? Well, they don't have to trade anyone or trade for anyone. They could just sign Will Fuller outright. Matt LaFleur, a big fan of Will Fuller, and this team needs the speed. Romeo Doubs is winning over the top, but not getting the ball consistently. And it is just, this offense looks different when Christian Watson is out there and able to stretch the field, but they can't rely on him. And Sammy Watkins at this point in his career is just not that guy anymore. He can give them some speed elements, but is not going to be the guy to consistently take the top off your defense. So Will Fuller could be that. We don't know what the situation is with Will Fuller and his health or where he wants to go, but certainly this is a place where he could make some sense. And if you're only going to need him for, say, 8 games and a playoff run, that might be the perfect amount to need Will Fuller for. So he might be the kind of guy that they're saving in their back pocket if they can't land one of these bigger fish to go out and try and add. Speed is what this team needs to make this offense work. And speed would also make it easier for Aaron Rodgers to hit some of these deep shots, give them a little bit more open opportunities. Mike Renner had a stat that, you know, of the deep shots that Aaron Rodgers has thrown this season, only 5 have been to receivers charted as open. I think some of that is that there have been other open receivers that he just hasn't thrown it to. Like, for example, on the Aaron Jones play where he throws it out of bounds, Romeo Doubs is open on the left side. If Rodgers throws that to Doubs, it might be a touchdown. Now, because of the safety alignment and because of the matchup, it's a good play to throw to Aaron Jones. You actually had 2 guys open on that play. So I kind of don't, I don't say I don't buy that as a stat, because I believe that that's what the charting says. But I also believe that there are other receivers who have been open deep that have not gotten the ball. And that is something that it would help if you had a guy who is just like a pure speed guy. a Will Fuller track the ball down the field kind of guy. That he makes sense. What do they want? What do they want out of these guys? It's something that we just don't know right now. Odell Beckham, assuming his rehab is going well, Aaron Rodgers all but said, I would love Odell Beckham in his Pat McAfee show 2 weeks ago. It seems like the Rams also want Odell Beckham, that they are going to make another contract offer to him. And if they make an offer, that the Packers probably are not in the mix. But at the same time, if it looks like Odell Beckham is going to be wide receiver one and he gets to play with Aaron Rodgers, there could be a chance that that is a really appealing location to him as well. But that is a wait and see. The trade deadline is coming up here. We're talking about 2 weeks. So if the Packers want to make a trade, that move is now. There are, I think, like three names that are intriguing to me to varying degrees. The most appealing player who seems to be actually on the market, because I don't think DJ Moore is going anywhere. It just doesn't make sense to move him from a money standpoint. That's the guy that I would say move heaven and earth, give up a first round pick to get that guy. Absolutely. Give the AJ Brown package for DJ Moore. Absolutely. That's probably not going to happen, but call. Definitely call. The Claypool deal is appealing to me because this is a guy that the Packers have history with. Brian Gutekunst also has a history of going to get guys that he has a history of pursuing. We've seen this a number of times in the past. And it's always great when we get this, the reporting after the fact that, oh, the Packers actually tried to trade for Za'Darius Smith before they signed him, like 2 years before. And then Milt Hendrickson comes in the building from Baltimore and he's like, no, actually sign this guy. Definitely sign this guy. That would not surprise me. They were in on Robbie Anderson twice. Now, we don't know if they were in on this trade, but that's something to think about. Will Fuller. They can probably wait on Will Fuller. They can't wait on some of these trade guys. Claypool, Pickens is there. Deontay Johnson is on a big money contract. And yeah, the Steelers beat the Buccaneers, but they probably know this season is not a real season. They're not really competing. And if they don't want to extend Chase Claypool, which is something he's probably going to want after this season, because otherwise he's playing in the fourth year of a contract or playing in the third year of a, no, let's see. 20 was year one. Yeah, 20. This is his year three contract. Year four is the final year of that deal. So he's not going to want to play on a lame duck contract. If you're a legitimate starting NFL receiver, and by year three, that's who you are, you're going to want to get paid after that in the spring. Same with T. Higgins. Our pal Jake Morley suggested that the Packers call on T. Higgins. Joe Burrow's about to make $50 million a year. Jamar Chase is about to make $25 million a year. And T. Higgins is probably going to want to get paid this spring or this summer. And so if they don't think they can pay him, and the Packers are willing to offer, you know, a second round pick and something else, fourth round pick, a 2 and a 4, that's much better than the third round compensatory pick that they would get if they traded him. And he's not going to want to play on the franchise tag. They're not going to want to pay the franchise tag. They might not have the money to pay the franchise tag in 2024. So just a name to throw out there. That's not going to happen probably, but this Claypool thing could. He would give you the speed, a big body in the middle of the field, and someone who can play in the slot, play on the outside. Not going to win quickly, but can win. And again, is a big body guy. Is the kind of Brian Gutekunst player that would be appealing. The other name that I like is Kendrick Bourne. And Kendrick Bourne, his role has been minimized in New England a little bit. Former 49ers receiver, knows this offense, and is the kind of player who, in the red zone, on third and six, he can get you a bucket. Because he is an underrated ball winner for his size. Can win on slants and inbreakers, and is a physical guy, will block. He is, you know, Randall Cobb in the slot version, but on the outside of the guy that it could be third and Bourne rather than just third and Cobb. And in the red zone, I think that has value. On third down, that has value. The Packers, like, I think Romeo Doubs can become that. They're not letting him do that right now. And I think they would benefit from doing that. But I think Bourne is another guy who would move the needle enough. I think he would be better than Sammy Watkins in those situations because that's still not what Sammy does. All of Sammy Watkins' production was schemed up. And we saw it on Sunday. CJ Mosley was dropping into those spots. He knew where, when the Packers were going play action, they wanted to hit those inbreakers in the middle of the field. They have to be able to threaten the middle of the field without going to play action. And they have to have some play action looks that is doing more than just running inbreakers, those glance routes on strike. Hey, how about this? If teams are going to play you that way, then you have to run some sort of like double move, some sort of like glance whip or something, where you come in and then back out and voila, wide open potentially. They have to have the move off the move. And I think Matt LaFleur can do that. So those are the two names that I have circling. And they're like, it's like one, three. Like I think Claypool has the potential to be a long-term piece for this team. I think Bourne is a nice complimentary piece. Like if you think Dobbs, Watson, and are like long-term pieces, Lazard potentially, Claypool is a really nice fit in with those guys because of his ability to stretch the field vertically, to be a red zone threat, and to be a middle of the field threat in a way that some of those guys just aren't. Right now, at least, I like the fit. If you can, if you're going to give up premium draft capital, it would probably take a top 100 pick to get Chase Claypool. Then you probably need to think that they're a long-term piece for you. Maybe that comes with a new contract. You know, these are things to weigh. And then further down the list, someone like Nelson Agholor, who is, again, a complimentary piece, but who could give you some speed. Are the hands great? Nope. But maybe Aaron Rodgers, he's an NFL player. Maybe he'll get a little bit more trust than the guys currently out there. That's certainly further down the list. Rather than trade for Nelson Agholor, I would just sign Will Fuller. Like, and we're assuming that Will Fuller would want to come to Green Bay, but I think that makes a lot more sense than you know, giving up assets, even if it's going to be late day three picks for, you know, a player like that. So again, it's on the list, but it's not something that I think would really move the needle. All right, we're going to get to Lily in just a second. But before we do, let's talk about LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs is the best place to post your job because you don't want to deal with all the clutter of getting candidates who aren't the right fit for the job that you're posting. That's not helpful to you or to anyone. So why not go to LinkedIn, the most trusted name in trying to find a job? If you're someone who's wanting to go look for a job, you're probably going to go on LinkedIn. Tens of millions of people are on LinkedIn trying to find a job, probably right now. So why not go and post your job there to get all the tools that you need to find the most qualified candidates? LinkedIn Jobs is the place to find qualified candidates. Use the promo code LOCKEDONNFL. That's linkedin.com/LOCKEDONNFL to post your job today. And thanks for making Locked On Packers your first listen every day. Make sure you listen to NFL Key Predictions every Friday on Locked On NFL. It's our local experts, people like me, giving you the inside scoop on the biggest games in the NFL weekend, including Sunday and Monday Night Football, plus the best betting advice from the best betting advice givers. Bet online. Follow NFL Key Predictions every Friday on Locked On NFL, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get podcasts. For the first time in the history of Zal You Doin', we come in on a two-game losing streak. Lily, it has never happened to us before. I hope it never happens to us again. Remember, this is our losing streak. The Packers, whatever. This is two straight L's for Zal You Doin'. Lily Zal from Fox 6 in Milwaukee. I hesitate to even ask the question, but I have to do it. Zal You Doin'?
Peter, you know, I think this is a winning podcast, so I think we're going to keep flying the W, okay, despite the record of 3-3. But this is like weird waters. I'm like, we're not used to talking about back-to-back losses in the last couple of years, so this is really odd. I'm hoping we're not talking about a third straight loss next week, but that's neither here nor there. We'll get there when we get there.
I mean, we are going to be like full DEFCON, you know, one, whatever the highest number is. I always forget which one is which. I think it's one. Right?
One? Yeah, I think it's DEFCON one.
I think one is the worst, is like the biggest emergency.
Yeah, we're like DEFCON 3 at the moment.
So. Yeah, if they lose to the Commanders, it is like all the sirens from every submarine movie you've ever heard are going off.
Yeah, so I'm good. So how you doing? All right.
Okay. All right, we made it. And we're going to obviously, unfortunately, talk about a lot of this. I want to start somewhere that we don't normally start, but that we always eventually land. And that is the vibes, because the vibes, Lily, are the opposite of immaculate right now. You have Aaron Rodgers after the game saying we need to simplify things, which everyone takes to mean less motion, maybe try and play with a little bit more tempo, which I don't know, is weird to me because the Packers haven't played with tempo outside of end of half situations since like 2016, but that's neither here or there. And Matt LaFleur has asked this question about simplifying the offense. And he goes, I don't know what that means. So that's not ideal. Let's go back to Sunday because you were at Lambeau. What was the atmosphere like there with the team after this game?
I will say during the game, it just felt a little dead. Like, I know it's a noon game. It was gloomy. It was after London, yada, yada, yada. But even during the game, Peter, it was very just like mellow. There wasn't a lot of energy at all with, you know, the fans, and they eventually got into it. But it just this slow start in the game, and you just kind of felt it trickle in. So during the game, it was just very low energy in the locker room. You know, it was the same of, you know, these guys are not feeling concerned. You know, they're hungry to get better. They're not worried about their offense or their defense or the state of affairs with this team. They're still very confident with the guys they have. That's the vibe. But I was able to ask a couple guys, I'm like, do you just need a spark on offense? Do you need, I asked Romeo Doubs that, and he said, yeah. Do you just, and I asked, you know, Kenny Clark and Rashawn Gary, do you guys just need a spark on defense? And they're like, yeah, it'll come. But it's what do you need in terms of a spark? Is it a big play in the game? Is it just somebody just yelling at your face on the sidelines, like, let's get this together, guys? Is it like a rallying post on social media? I don't know what it is, but these guys need something to light their butts on fire because it felt stale out there. I don't think they're going to straight up say, yeah, we don't feel like this game had a lot of energy, but you could feel it. And there's just a sense, you know, when you're watching the game or when you're there, that it just was kind of flat and dead. And that was a feel I got. But, you know, hopefully they find that energy, whatever it is, Peter, that juice, like we say, because they sorely need it. They really do.
So this is, I think, a difficult question, and I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to it. I think this is more about just sort of how you approach the game, how you watch the game, how you follow the game, all that stuff. Would you like to see them a little more pissed off? Because I know that there are fans that want them to be mad after the game. And, you know, again, I don't think there's a right answer to this. But, you know, after you lose two games to teams that you feel like you're better than, would you have preferred to see them, yeah, a little bit more fired up in the locker room? Like, no, this is not acceptable. We can't do this anymore.
I would think so. And, you know, a lot of these guys are who they are personality wise. I don't think you're going to see, you know, certain personality types just start being like, yeah, I'm going to do this, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, Rashawn Gary literally said he was hungry. The word hungry.
18 times.
Yes, he's hungry. I mean, he said we're going to see the results on the field next week. And, you know, we believe him. And, but I do agree. It's if they had come out in the second half and just showed some sort of emotion, or, you know, there was one big play that they could rally behind and then they just built off of that, that would have felt better. But I feel like at this point, since we said we're in DEFCON like 3 right now, right? If there isn't any sort of change next week, that's an issue. Because again, this team is 3-3. It's 500. It's not the expectation in Green Bay like they know. If they don't come out fired up next week, I don't know what else is going to get them fired up, because at this point you got to realize like something's got to change for us to really right the ship here.
Yeah. I saw this a number of times, and I felt the same, frankly, watching a game like Bills Chiefs, and like, set the talent part of it aside. Obviously the Packers are not playing good enough football right now to hang with either of those teams, but the intensity that game carried, the verve that both of those teams played with, that, you know, Matt LaFleur said this last week, I want guys making mistakes 100 miles an hour. Even the mistakes are not being made fast right now. And this team does not, like, when was the last time we saw them on both sides of the ball play with a lot of intensity? We saw them in the playoff game defensively play with a ton of juice. I mean, that team is as juiced up as we've seen this defense play in a long time. Where, like, why do you think that is, that this team, at least so far this season, has just sort of sleptwalked through the first third of the year?
I don't know. And I feel like it's maybe something like, you know we have superior talent on the field. We'll kind of skate by and we'll eventually make the playoffs. But at this point, it's, if you keep playing the way you're playing, you're not even making the postseason. And it was to the point, Peter, where I was like, can this offense even get a first down that's not via penalty? Like, it was that sort of feel of, they can't get anything going.
It didn't seem like it. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I don't know what it is. I don't know why it's been so lackadaisical so far this season. It's, you know, they know who's been on the schedule. I know they're going to get up for the Buffalo game, but again, if you're going into the game with a 3-4 record, it's really not looking good for you. I
joked with Andy Herman yesterday on the show that like they're going to win that Bills game. And Andy was like, yeah, they're going to go 1-2 on this road trip. But the one game they win is going to be the Bills, just because like that number one, that's the NFL this season. Like that's just sort of been what we've seen. And number two, like because the Packers are made to just beguile their fans. Like that's what they are and who they've been. Do you think I've been wondering about this. Do you think it's good for this team to face some adversity now, to taste their own blood a little bit and go, oh, okay, so we're really good, but if we don't play really well, I thought Ben Solak on The Ringer had a great line in his piece where talking about the defense that like they have to act like other teams have talented players too. And I think the Packers, it might be good for them to go, okay, maybe we were feeling ourselves a little too much and a sense of urgency rather than let's watch our language and manifest and whatever. Is actually what this team needs moving forward. Yeah. I'm leading this. I get it, but
yeah, I think so. It's you know, I know they know there's professionals on the other side of the football, but you got to play like it, right? I just feel again like they just kind of like walk into it, expecting that whatever they have practiced is what is going to be seen on the field, which is never the case. Teams make adjustments. Guys have big games. The tackling hasn't been there at all, or has been very mid, as people would say.
Mid might be diplomatic.
Yeah. There just is something off though, Peter. And I'm like, you're right though. It's easier to have this sort of adversity earlier in the season because there's still 11 games left. At least you're not having a sort of meltdown later in the year where you're trying to make a playoff spot. But I think it's okay. You're kind of at a point now where you're like, okay, this is enough adversity. We have to rebound. We have to respond. We're good with 3-3. Let's go up from here, right? We saw again in their Super Bowl season, they had 6 losses. It can be done. But they need to respond. I think Washington's going to be a very pivotal game. If they don't respond, if they don't show some semblance of, you know, we have a team that we can, you know, build upon with a good offense and a solid defense, it's going to be very troublesome. I mean, they have to figure things out on Sunday. It's going to be very, very key for them.
I said this going into the Jets game, like this is the Jets game was a game that you go out and you show that you're an NFC contender, and they didn't. And so like at a certain point, they just are who they are. And we saw the flashes in the first half against New York. We saw the flashes in the first half against Tampa. We saw the flashes defensively in the second half against the Vikings. But they have not been able to put a full game together. And at a certain point, that is just who the team is, unfortunately. So now they're dealing with injuries. Randall Cobb is hurt. We think Sammy Watkins is going to come off IR this week, or at least open the window for him to come off IR this week. Christian Watson could go on IR. So those are two players in Cobb and Watson that this offense needs. They've been healthy defensively. Like imagine what this defense is like without Rashawn Gary. All of a sudden, you're really in a bad way. And so I don't know where this team turns for answers. What do you make of the LaFleur Rodgers? We need to simplify things. I don't know what that means. Like, it seems like they mean the same thing, which is we need to find a way to execute better. They just sort of maybe have different plans of how to get there. But this team, they have the players. They're just not doing the thing. So how do they get there?
That is a great question. You know, Rodgers, again, it's been talked about, right? Rodgers is like, let's simplify it. I don't know if it's with the play calling, with the offensive line, just whatever it is. Let's not dumb it down. That's not a good way to say it, but let's simplify it. And, you know, maybe that's less motion, but like we all know, motion is a big part of LaFleur's offense. So how do they kind of marry the two together to say, maybe we do a little bit less motion, but it's still there. But we kind of make it a little bit easier for our guys on offense. But I think at the end of the day, it's, you know, if they're trying to put the right 11 guys on the field at the same time, they have to reshuffle that offensive line. That's going to be priority number one. Figure that out. And you give Rodgers time to throw. I know he's been inaccurate this season, but again, the man was pressured like every single snap, it felt like, against the Jets. Give the man time to throw. You know, the connection hopefully will get there. But I think it starts up front. Get the offensive line fixed. It helps with your run game. It helps with protection. But again, it's that game plan of how can they marry it together to make it work for both of them. that's going to be the really big point this week, I think, Peter, because, you know, again, it felt like at points, can they even get a first down? That's how bad it felt. So I don't know what it's going to be, but maybe just simplify it. Less motion. Let's just go run the football, throw it down the field. I don't know.
I saw a great stat. That was on 3rd and 1 or 2, the Packers have an average depth of target on their throws of over 8 yards down the field.
Yeah.
And that matches with what we see, right? There was the fourth and one call where it's Romeo Doubs on a slot fade. Like that's a really fun, like, you know, put it out on the table kind of play when you have Devontae Adams and when you have Aaron Rodgers playing at an MVP level. They don't have that. So just go get the first down and go from there. And it just seems like they're not doing the simple things. And that's something that if you're going to make the optimistic case for this team, right? And we did that a little bit yesterday on the show. Like if Aaron Rodgers just plays like 85% of MVP Rodgers, that's a pretty significant upgrade over what he's been so far. If Elton Jenkins goes back to guard and plays like old Elton Jenkins, like you're not asking guys to play outside of what they've shown already. You're just asking them to be who they've been. And all of a sudden, I think things can get much better for the Packers. The harder question to answer is like, why have those guys not been themselves this season? And we don't have a good answer for that. So I asked you this a couple of weeks ago and you said Christian Watson, and then he scored a touchdown and then he got hurt. If they can find that spark, whether it's on offense or defense, you can pick a side, whatever you want. Where do you think it will come from, or where do you think it has to come from?
To your previous point though, Peter, I totally agree with you. I just wanted to add one thing. You're right. I think the over thing is they want to be somebody that they're not, and they need to just be who they are, get the first down. To answer your question, I know it's a very obvious answer, but I feel like Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he's the quarterback. He's your, you know, back-to-back MVP. If he is just dropping dimes left and right, like we know he can do, I mean, this offense is just so much better. Again, I know they're doing deep throws. It's incomplete. But if he can hit on those, if he's not underthrowing guys or overthrowing guys, if he's just making those big throws with Romeo Doubs, like that connection gets a lot better. If he's making those, you know, we saw that throw to Tunyon that, you know, could have been a pick six. I mean, that was a terrible throw. I mean, he makes that 9 times out of 10. I mean, they're closer to a first down. We're talking about a different narrative on that opening drive. It's he needs to play better. I think he could be the spark for this team if he can just hit on a couple of throws, don't hold the ball too long. I think he's going to be the key because outside of that, unless you're bringing somebody in, I'm saying Aaron Rodgers all the way has got to play a tick better, as he said.
Yeah, probably more than a tick. You're making $50 million a year. You have to be a top five quarterback, and you can't be the 15th best quarterback, which is like the most charitable way to describe how he's playing this year. I have sort of half joked that he's been Jimmy G this year. And if you look at all the underlying metrics, like that's actually who he's been. Aesthetically, maybe that's not it. But it's just he's got to be better. And if he's better, everything gets better. Now you want to improve the surroundings. You want to improve the offensive line. Yes, please do that. I don't know how they're going to line up the receivers. Like, what do you think is the best combination of receivers right now? Randall Cobb is hurt. Let's say Sammy Watkins can't play on Sunday. Who do you throw out there, or how do you change potentially? Do you have to go to more two tight ends? Do you have to play more pony? Like what would you do offensively if you're not going to have Watkins, Watson, or Cobb on Sunday?
Well, they better make sure, you know, Juwan Winfrey will hopefully be back on the field. I think in that case, maybe it's something where, you know, we did see Josiah DeGuara out there.
Bring me more DeGuara snaps, please.
Yeah, I mean, he's blocking his butt off. I mean, get him some more opportunities. I mean, hey, we even saw Amari Rodgers. You know, he made his first career catch. So maybe just having Amari out there would do something. Or I would say maybe just get these running backs more involved in the passing game. We haven't really seen that a lot. And, you know, I know it was tough sledding with A.J. Dillon last week in that department, but get Aaron Jones involved more. I don't know why he only had, what, 3 combined touches for a majority of the first half. Get him more involved in the passing game, and maybe you can go to those options. And still, you know, keep Doubs where he is and see if you can hit on a couple of deep balls. But at this point, it's do you really want to risk it on first down when you're not making any of those throws? So I think those are some options that they can really go to. But they just got to get something going, Peter. I think at this point, just get a first down and go from there. Don't be getting chunk yards unless you know you can get it.
Yeah, I think there are a couple quarterbacks in the league right now who are playing to prove a point, not playing to the best of doing what is best for the offense. I think Russell Wilson is one of those guys. And I think Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys right now. And to a certain degree, I think maybe Tom Brady is one of those guys as well. Before you go, I have to ask you about this because Robbie Anderson was dealt to the Arizona Cardinals after his meltdown in Carolina. There were a lot of people, myself included, who suggested he would be a good fit in Green Bay. Carolina, apparently open for business. That means someone like DJ Moore could also be available. And now we're getting this report from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN that a couple of multiple GMs he spoke to were certain, that is Jeremy Fowler's language, that the Packers were trying to add a veteran at receiver. And Fowler suggested Chase Claypool, the same guy that, by the way, Bill Barnwell at ESPN suggested the Packers go get, and someone that Fowler has said is available going back to February before George Pickens was picked. So does a player like Chase Claypool make sense to you? And to what degree do you think it is actually necessary for this team to go out and add a receiver?
I can see both sides, right? I did feel like at, you know, Rodgers wasn't saying it post game, but he was kind of a roundabout way of saying like, go get me somebody, you know, get me somebody to kind of throw. No, he didn't really say it.
If you think we have the right players, we need to execute better. And if you don't, we need to do something about it is a roundabout way of saying, I don't think we have the right players.
We've seen it in the past with this team of they need somebody to throw the ball to. They don't get anybody. It would behoove them, I think, to make a move. Again, will it help? If you don't get everything else shored up, it's not going to help because if Rodgers doesn't have time to throw with the offensive line, he's not throwing anybody, even if you have, you know, OBJ or Chase Claypool out there. They got to shore these things up first. But again, it doesn't hurt to add talent to your team. It doesn't hurt because eventually if you find the best five on your line and you get things moving and you have a really good talent wide receiver, why not? Why not add it? Because we've seen what the Rams were able to do in their Super Bowl season, add talent to their team. They want to ring. If this Packers team wants to do it, go out there and get somebody that Rodgers can also throw to. It's a talented receiver. I think Chase Claypool would be a nice fit for this team. Go out there and do it. I mean, why not, right? I know they're very much like, we can't risk the future, the picks, whatever, but at some point you got to pull the trigger and say, we want to win a Super Bowl this year. We got to go make sure we get the right players for it. So,
look, they haven't had a good third round pick in like 15 years. So I've seen a lot of people say, just send them a third round pick. As a matter of fact, send them two third round picks because who cares? They're not going to be good players anyway. I do not like the Sean Ryan slander, but I understand what history says. Interesting, Lily. Chase Claypool was a player they really liked pre-draft. They tried to move up for him in the draft in 2020. Could not get up high enough. They tried to trade for Will Fuller 2 years ago. And they were interested and were a finalist for OBJ last year. Made an offer to OBJ last year. Those three guys, sounds like all of them are available. Two of them are straight up free agents. So I know that like the cynical Packer fan view is they're going to do nothing. They're going to sign Ty Freifogel. And that's going to be it. I don't think that that's where we are with this team. So hopefully next week, we're not only talking about a dub, but we're talking about a new receiver. That would be fun. I would love to do that. So let's do it. Lily, thank you so much.
Thanks, Peter.
Today's episode brought to you by our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for football betting info this season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth article analysis on every game. And as always, BetOnline is your number one source for in-game betting, live wagering. I was going to mix betting and wagering and almost said like bedwetting, which is not what you want to do. And certainly if a team does that while you have them on the money line, not the best. So if you've been a Baltimore Ravens better this year, probably not the best for you. Maybe fade Baltimore moving forward because they just love to blow these games in the fourth quarter. And head to BetOnline to check out more. BetOnline, where the game starts. And thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers their first listen every day. Now make Peacock and Williamson your second listen. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson give you the expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. All right, back tomorrow, crossover Thursday with our pals over at Locked On Commanders, our live show on Friday at 8 Eastern, 7 Central time.
on our YouTube page. Be sure to check out, subscribe to it on YouTube. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers. And anytime you want to hit us up on the Locked On Packers fan hotline, you can do that 920-341-3775. Stay Locked On Packers.